Hello and welcome to the Word from My Hermitage. My name is Father Clint Honkamp, and I come to you today from my hermitage in the Dominican Priory of St. Pius V here in Chicago, Illinois. Today is Monday of the third week of Lent, March 9th, 2026, and our passage for reflection today is from the Gospel of Luke, where he writes, Jesus said to the people in the synagogue at Nazareth, Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. There is a particular kind of silence that falls over a room when the truth has just been spoken. Not the silence of peace, but the silence of exposure. It is the silence of Nazareth in today's gospel. They knew him there. They had watched him grow. They had seen him as a boy in Joseph's workshop, heard his voice in ordinary conversation, observed nothing extraordinary in his outward appearance. He was familiar, safe, containable, explainable. He belonged to them. And this was precisely the problem. For the human heart often prefers a God who remains predictable. We prefer a God who confirms us, who blesses our existing arguments, arrangements, who leaves undisturbed the hidden architecture of our pride. We do not resist God in his majesty. We resist him in his intimacy. It is easier to kneel before a distant God than to surrender before a God who knows us completely. Jesus stands before them not as an abstraction, but as a mirror, and mirrors provoke. When he declares, no prophet is accepted in his own native place, he is not simply describing a sociological pattern. He is unveiling a spiritual law. Familiarity can become a defense against conversion. The closer grace comes, the more threatening it can feel, because it approaches the places we most carefully conceal. Nazareth had already decided who he was. They had constructed a narrative that preserved their control. He is Joseph's son. He is one of us. He cannot exceed the boundaries we assign him. But God does not submit to our psychological containment. And so Jesus intensifies the wound. He reminds them of Elijah and the widow of Zephrathah, of Elisha and Naaman the Syrian, foreigners, outsiders, those beyond the covenant's visible boundary. Grace, he implies, is not domesticated by belonging. It moves freely, sovereignly, often towards those who know their need. And this is the scandal. The chosen ones discovered that closeness is not possession. Privilege is not ownership. Proximity does not guarantee surrender. At this moment, the atmosphere shifts. The synagogue, once a place of prayer, becomes a place of resistance. Admiration curdles into hostility. The same lips that spoke approval now form accusation. The heart, when confronted with truth, must either soften or harden. There is no neutral ground. This is the provocative drama of holiness. It reveals before it heals. We must be careful not to imagine ourselves only as observers of this scene. Lent invites us to recognize Nazareth within ourselves. For Christ stands also in the familiar places of our lives, in our routines, in our prayers, in the quiet interior moments of conscience. He speaks words that challenge our preferred self-understanding. He reveals attachments we defend, illusions we protect, identities we fear to relinquish. And our first instinct is often resistance. Not open rebellion, but subtler forms. Rationalization, delay, selective obedience. We listen, but we do not yield. We admire, but we do not surrender. We prefer inspiration to transformation. Yet Christ does not come merely to inspire. He comes to liberate. And liberation always disrupts the false securities by which we define ourselves. It exposes the poverty beneath our carefully maintained self-sufficiency. It invites us into a deeper truth that our life is not self-constructed, but received. The tragedy of Nazareth is not that Christ refused them, it is that they refused the Christ who stood before them. And yet, even here, there is mercy. Luke tells us that Jesus passed through their midst and went away. He does not retaliate. He does not condemn. He simply continues his mission. Grace remains available even when rejected. God does not coerce the human heart. He waits. This waiting is itself an act of love. For God desires not compliance, but consent. He seeks not submission born of fear, but surrender born of trust. Lent is precisely this invitation to allow Christ to become unfamiliar again, to let him speak beyond our expectations, to permit him to disturb the arrangements by which we avoid deeper surrender. Now, holiness is not comfortable. It is luminous, disruptive, and tender all at once. It will always provoke before it consoles. And the question that remains before each of us is simple and severe. When Christ speaks, will we recognize him, or will we cling to the version of him that leaves us unchanged? Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you who stood in the midst of your own people and spoke words that revealed their hearts, stand now within the quiet Nazareth of my soul. You know me more intimately than I know myself. You see the places where I resist you, the attachments I defend, the fears I conceal behind familiarity. Grant me the courage to receive you as you truly are, not as I prefer you to be. Break gently the illusions that bind me. Disturb whatever must be disturbed so that your truth may live freely within me. Where I have grown accustomed to your presence, renew my wonder. Where I have resisted your voice, soften my heart. Where I have confined you to safe distances, draw me into deeper surrender. Do not allow me to reject the grace that stands before me. In this holy season of Lent, lead me through the necessary purifications, that I may emerge more transparent to your life, more faithful to your love, more surrendered to your will. For you alone are the truth that frees, the love that transforms, and the God who never abandons those who seek you. Amen. If you found a blessing in this reflection today, I invite you back each and every day as we continue to walk our journey of Lent. May God bless you today and keep you safe. Amen.